Good evening, everyone. I'm Will Lovell. Good to see you tonight. We appreciate you being here. And we're certainly thankful to you for your presence and all of you that are visiting with us tonight. And we hope and trust that as we study the Word of the Lord, that good will be accomplished. This morning, as you know and I know, Brother Randolph Cheatham has had a lot of suffering that he's had to go through. He wanted to be here at church services, and he came. And he became totally unresponsive there, Tommy was telling me. And thankfully, though, tonight, he was able to go to the hospital. They did some tests, and they were able to send him back home. Could keep praying for Randolph and Wynette, both of them, in your prayers so that God will bless them, because both of them are ill. We're glad that we can talk tonight again about being a soul winner for Jesus. I don't want to stand there on that day of judgment. I don't want the Lord to look at me and say, you didn't do your job. Why didn't you share me with others? A soul, so important to us. You remember how that the Bible tells us the very first gospel sermon that was preached. After the church came into existence, the Bible tells us that Peter tells these people to save your souls from this untoward generation. I want to tell you tonight, there are a lot of people in Alabama that need to be saved. And my friend, not only in Alabama, but in Limestone County, there are many that we've got to get to them. Try to do all we can to influence them, because they're somebody's mother, somebody's daddy, somebody's brother, somebody's sister, somebody's son, and somebody's daughter, grandchildren. What I'm saying to you tonight is this. God has laid upon us a wonderful, tremendous thing to do, to take the gospel, try to save souls to the best of our ability. I'm pointing out to you this morning with the question from Proverbs 11. If you want to be wise, you do everything you can to have people standing in the day of judgment where God will say to them that they are saved and look at you and say, and you're part of the cause of their salvation. Look what the Bible says. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He's a wise person. I pointed out to you this morning as we had a short sermon, the very first point, and that is, in order to bring a soul to Jesus, you got to know what's right. You got to teach them what's right. There are a lot of people teaching various things in the world today that now will not bring those people to Jesus. You'll hear preaching it on the radio or on television, and you'll hear people expounding that all you have to do is just simply believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Nothing else for you to do. Jesus wants those who believe Him, but who will also work for Him. The Bible tells us that therefore, in the teaching and the doctrine, we must be right. Don't teach them something false. That won't bring them to the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed of yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that you should follow in His steps. I've got to have the right attitude. You've got to have the right attitude. We've got to have the right teaching. We've got to expound to them what the Word of the Lord says. That's so important. Number two, we must have might. By that I mean this. We've got to have the power which is of God. When Paul was writing to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 2, remember in verse 2, here's what he said. He said, I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and His crucified. Now what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, I'm preaching who? I'm not preaching Paul. I'm not trying to get people to convert to me. I'm not trying to get folks to turn to me. No, Paul said, what I'm doing is showing forth the mighty power of God that's found in Jesus Christ. In Romans 5, 8 and 9, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Where's the power? The power is in Christ. To whom are we get people to look to? To Jesus Christ. Not to Guy McDaniel, not to you, not to your husband or wife or somebody else, but rather to the power of God, which is found in Jesus Christ. When Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 5 he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Who are you serving, Paul? I'm serving Jesus. Why, who are you trying to get people to come to? Not to a group of people, but rather to whom? To the one that can save them. No wonder in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then he adds, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. A lot of people followed Jesus. But when he taught them that he was the bread of life, they ceased following him. He looked to Peter and the other apostles, and he said to them, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Let's think about that for a moment. Who are you going to turn to when you're sick and you're ready to die? Who is it that you want to be with you? Surely it must be Jesus. You got to be the power that's found in Jesus Christ is what you need and what I need. When Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul, who are you looking to? To Jesus Christ. Paul, what will Jesus do for you? He'll save me. Paul, what are you going to do after you're saved? I'm going to be a soul winner. Who are you going to try to get to be saved? Those that are lost. Who are you going to point them to, Paul? Not to me. You remember the church was all divided in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the Bible said some of them were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. And some were saying they were of Christ. And then the question Paul asked was, Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He didn't preach himself. He was preaching Jesus. There's the power, there's the might. To be a soul winner for Jesus, forget yourself. Think about the Lord that you are presenting. Do your very best to present His Word in a way that hopefully will lead someone to Jesus Christ. Number three, we must have sight. To be a good soul winner, we've got to be filled with faith. And that sight is upon those things that are eternal and not upon those things that are earthly. In the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't make it. God's never going to be pleased with anyone who does not really believe in Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's what you got to remember. We're going to be rewarded. we're going to receive something. You may have worked and had a big pension, and you may have enjoyed that, and that's great. But I want to tell you, my friend, the greatest reward that any of us can ever have is to share Jesus, take time with those that are lost, and those that are suffering, do all we can for them, because being a soul winner for Jesus brings great rewards. In Hebrews 11, verse 13, there we find that the Hebrew writer talks about those that died, that they died in faith. They never saw, but they believed. And that's what you and I must have in order to be a good soul winner for Jesus. Jesus is quoted in John 4, verse 35 as saying, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes." Who is he saying that to? His disciples. Is it still applicable and true today? Absolutely. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. All God needs is workers to go forth and be soul winners, not for themselves, but soul winners for Jesus. Fourthly, to be a soul winner, we got a fight on our hands. The devil is wanting to get every person that you even try to influence to turn to Jesus Christ. The devil is a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. And we've got to withstand the devil. All his schemes, we've got to look through them. Because you see, my friend, to be a soul winner of Jesus, you got to try to win someone from the devil. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. It's not always going to be easy. When someone who does not want to listen and heed to what the Lord says, all you need to do is to keep your Bible in hand and let God speak. If people do not believe that, that's not your responsibility. If you've tried your best to tell them what's in the book. Giving them a book, chapter, and verse for it. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8 in this book, you can read about a man, his name was Paul. And Paul says this shortly before he's executed. The Bible said, he said, I have fought a good fight. Who you been fighting with, Paul? Fighting with the devil. Fighting with anyone that would try to discourage me. Even his own self. He could say in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27, I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He knew that he had responsibility himself. Challenged to make sure he himself lived according to that which he preached, so he might be eternally saved. And he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus, don't you? I want to see everybody at O'Neill, elders, deacons, every preacher, every teacher, every one of us to show zeal in trying to reach and bring others that are lost to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I wish I could have been with Paul and heard him pray as he was praying for Israel. Since I couldn't be there, I can read, and I hear him. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I've got family that I pray almost every day for who are lost. I pray, oh God, help me to do what I can. Help somebody else to come into their lives and influence them. Help them, Lord, to come back to You, because I don't want them to be lost. Yes, I suggest to you the fight that we have with the devil. We can be victorious because we're standing with victory when we stand with Jesus Christ. Who is responsible for you being a Christian? Who would you point out to say, if it had not been for that person, I may never have obeyed the gospel? Who would you point out and say, you know, this is why I'm a member of the church? Because they led me by teaching me the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone made a survey about this. Thought it was real interesting. And the question was asked, why did you come here? Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Number one, they said I had a special need. 3% did. Others said, 3%, I just walked in. I like the preacher. 6% said, I visited. 1%. I like the Bible classes. 5%. I attended a gospel meeting. 0.5%. But look, 79% said a friend or a relative invited me. The power of a simple invitation. Do you help and contribute your time and efforts to the congregation? Elders are workers and they need helpers. They're overseeing our work. Deacons are those that have been chosen to serve under the elders. All of us have a responsibility to do everything we can right here at O'Neill to do what we can to reach out to those that are lost. Now I put this down, but I'm hesitant to even mention it, but I will. Do you greet one another by name? I confess to you that I have trouble sometimes with people's names. I don't know about you, and especially the small children. I really like it when I know their names. When I can call their, and it's just so impressive. I was walking down over at the nursing home today, and I'd just come out of Leola's room where I'd hugged her 3 times. We had prayed together, and bless her heart, I tell you, it's always such a joy. And I didn't leave without 2 bananas. She always has to give me. She said, I don't like the things, I want you to have them. She wanted to share something. I turned like this and I was walking down and suddenly I heard my name, Guy McDaniel. I turned around and there's a young man with his wife and child that I haven't seen for many, many years who used to go to Weatherly. John Schaefer. John now goes over to Goose Lane. He was there visiting. He said, my brother saw you go through the room out there, rather through the hall, and said, we just have to speak to you. It was so good to see him. I remembered his name. Many of them I don't. I'm trying. Ann was telling me the other day, I just wish I could recall everybody's name. But I think we all have that problem. So from now on, when somebody comes up to you, and they ask you who you are, and you can't think of anybody's name, just say Will Lovell. Or Stuart Wilson. There's some good names, isn't it? Let us be people who know each other. Let us be people who practice hospitality. Let us be people that attend every service possible at our own time. Because this is God's people, and we want other people to join with us and be added here. And one way to do it is to show them what an important congregation and a caring congregation O'Neill is. That means I've got to be supportive. I've got to be caring. I've got to do all that I can. I was over at Sister Winnie, and she's going to have her 97th birthday Tuesday. And a little gathering was for for her on Saturday, and I was standing there, we were talking. And she looked at me, and all of a sudden, tears started coming up in her eyes. She said, "Brother Guy, I'm still part of O'Neill. I want to be considered. That's my family. I can't come very much." But she said, "I love the people at O'Neill." You're comfortable with people that you love. You're comfortable with people that you care for. What a joy it is to be associated with people. And when people come in our congregation and they see folks talking with each other, doing all that they possibly can to encourage others to hear the word of the Lord, then surely we're helping to build an edifying congregation. May I suggest to you, get you out of prayer list. Write down 5 to 10 souls. People that you know that are lost, but you want them to be safe and go to God in prayer, have their names on that list, and do not let a single day go by without calling their name to the Father. And you're doing everything you possibly can to persuade them to turn and look to Jesus Christ. We were sung this morning, and I conclude tonight with this. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. For Jesus every day. He does so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. You see, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. Oh, let me be each day a soul winner for Jesus. Yes, a soul winner for Jesus. Why? He's done so much for me. I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ that they His grace may know. I want to live for Christ forever and do His blessed will because He loves me so. I want to be a soul winner till Jesus calls for me to lay my burdens down. I want to hear Him say, "Servant, you've gathered many sheaves. Receive a starry crown." In conclusion, in Revelation 14, verse 13, when we think of the words that came forth from heaven, we hear the voice of God. And this is what He says to John. "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Let your works be works that you have led some precious soul, as many as you can, to Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're in this assembly, you've never been baptized, won't you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess His name, and tonight be baptized for the remission of your sins, being cleansed from old sin. If you're an erring child of God, become a faithful child of God. Ask God to forgive you. If your prayer, if you want us to pray with you and for you tonight, won't you come right now while together we stand and while we sing.